Part 3. The Broken Skies. Ferrochemy, it should be noted, is the power of balance. Of the three powers, only it was known to men before the conflict between preservation and ruin came to a head. In ferrochemy, power is stored up, then later drawn upon. There is no loss of energy, just a changing of the time and rate of its use. 34. Marsh strode into the small town. Workers atop the makeshift gate, which looked flimsy enough that a determined knock would send it toppling, froze in place. Ash sweepers noticed him pass with shock, then horror. It was odd how they watched, too terrified to flee. Or at least too terrified to be the first one to flee. Marsh ignored them. The earth trembled beneath him in a beautiful song. Quakes were common here in the shadow of Mount Tyrian. It was the Ash Mount closest to Luthadel. Marsh walked through Elend Venture's own territory. But of course the Emperor had abandoned it. That seemed an invitation to Marsh, and to the one who controlled him. They were really the same. Marsh smiled as he walked. A small piece of him was still free. He let it sleep, however. Ruin needed to think he had given up. That was the point. And so Marsh held back only a tiny bit, and he did not fight. He let the ashen sky become a thing of bespeckled beauty, and treated the death of the world as a blessed event. Biding his time. Waiting. The village was an inspiring sight. The people were starving here, even though they were within the central dominance. Elend Venture's protected area. They had the wonderful, haunted expressions of those who were close to giving up hope. The streets were barely maintained. The homes, which had once been the dwellings of noblemen, but were now filled with hungry ska, covered in ash, their gardens stripped and their structures cannibalized to feed fires during the winter. The gorgeous sight made Marsh smile with satisfaction. Behind him, people finally started to move, fleeing, doors slamming. There were probably some 6,000 or 7,000 people living in the town. They were not Marsh's concern. Not at the moment. He was interested only in a single specific building. It looked little different from the others, a mansion in a fine row. The town had once been a shopping place for travelers, and had grown to be a favored place for nobility to construct second homes. A few noble families had lived here permanently, overseeing the many ska who had worked the plantations and fields on the plains outside. The building Marsh chose was slightly better maintained than those around it. The garden was, of course, more weeds than cultivation, and the outer mansion walls hadn't seen a good scrubbing in years. However, fewer sections of it looked to have been broken apart for firewood, and a guard actually stood watch at the front gate. Marsh killed him with one of the razor-sharp metal triangles that had once been used in the Lord Ruler's ceremonies. Marsh pushed it through the guard's chest even as the man opened his mouth in challenge. The air was oddly still and quiet as the guard's voice cut off, and he toppled to the side in the road. The ska who watched from nearby homes knew better than to react, and didn't stir. Marsh hummed to himself as he strolled up the front walk to the mansion, startling a small flock of ravens who had come to roost. Once this path would have been a calming stroll through gardens, the way marked by flagstones. Now it was simply a hike through a weed-filled field. The man who owned the place obviously couldn't afford more than a lone gate guard, and nobody raised an alarm at Marsh's approach. He was actually able to walk right up to the front doors. Smiling to himself, he knocked. A maidservant opened the doors. She froze when she saw Marsh, taking in his spiked eyes, his unnaturally tall figure, his dark robes. Then she began to tremble. Marsh held out a hand, palm up, with another of the triangles. Then he pushed it straight into her face. It snapped out of the back of the skull, and the woman toppled. He stepped over her body and entered the house. It was far nicer inside than the exterior had led him to expect. Rich furnishings, freshly painted walls, intricate ceramics. Marsh raised an eyebrow, scanning the room with his spiked eyes. The way his sight worked, it was hard for him to distinguish colors, but he was familiar enough with his powers now that he could pick them out if he wanted. The allomantic lines from the metals inside most things were really quite expressive. To Marsh, the mansion was a place of pristine whiteness and bright blobs of expensive color. Marsh searched through it, burning pewter to enhance his physical abilities, allowing him to walk much more lightly than would otherwise have been possible. He killed two more servants in the course of his exploration, and eventually moved up to the second floor. He found the man he wanted sitting at a desk in a top-floor room. Balding, wearing a rich suit. He had a petite mustache set in a round face and was slumped, eyes closed, a bottle of hard liquor empty at his feet. Marsh saw this with displeasure.
"I come all this way to get you," Marsh said. "And when I finally find you, I discover that you have intoxicated yourself into a stupor?"
The man had never met Marsh, of course. That didn't stop Marsh from feeling annoyed that he wouldn't be able to see the look of terror and surprise in the man's eyes when he found an inquisitor in his home. Marsh would miss out on the fear, the anticipation of death. Briefly, Marsh was tempted to wait until the man sobered up so that the killing could be performed properly. But Ruin would have none of that. Marsh sighed at the injustice of it, then slammed the unconscious man down against the floor and drove a small bronze spike through his heart. It wasn't as large or thick as an Inquisitor spike, but it killed just as well. Marsh ripped it out of the man's heart, leaving the former nobleman dead, blood pooling on the floor. Then Marsh walked out, leaving the building. The nobleman, Marsh didn't even know his name, had used allomancy recently. The man was a smoker, a misting who could create copper clouds, and the use of his ability had drawn Ruin's attention. Ruin had been wanting an allomancer to drain. And so Marsh had come to harvest the man's power and draw it into the spike. It seemed something of a waste to him. Hemallergy, particularly allomantic imbues, was much more potent when one could drive the spike through the victim's heart and directly into a waiting host. That way, very little of the allomantic ability was lost. Doing it this way, killing the allomancer to make a spike, then traveling somewhere else to place it, would grant the new host far less power. But there was no getting around it in this case. Marsh shook his head as he stepped over the maidservant's body again, moving out into the unkempt gardens. No one accosted or even looked at him as he made his way to the front gates. There, however, he was surprised to find a couple of ska men kneeling on the ground.
"Please, Your Grace," one said as Marsh passed. "Please send the obligators back to us. We will serve better this time."
"You have lost that opportunity," Marsh said, staring at them with his spike heads.
"We will believe in the Lord Ruler again," another said. "He fed us. Please, our families have no food."
"Well," Marsh said, "you needn't worry about that for long."
The men knelt, confused, as Marsh left. He didn't kill them, though part of him wished to. Unfortunately, Ruin wanted to claim that privilege for himself. Marsh walked across the plain outside the town. After about an hour's time, he stopped, turning to look back at the community and the towering ash mount behind it. At that moment, the top left half of the mountain exploded, spewing a deluge of dust, ash, and rock. The earth shook, and a booming sound washed over Marsh. Then, flaming hot and red, a large gout of magma began to flow down the side of the ash mount toward the plain. Marsh shook his head. Yes, food was hardly this town's biggest problem. They really needed to get their priorities straight.